weather forecast for, you know, a wintry mix, whatever that means. It usually means a mess. But sure hope the preacher doesn't preach too long so we can get home safely. We're going to be looking at God's Word in just a moment, and with the beginning of the year, we look at things in a unique fashion. We're going to be looking at an update to Vision 2020. We'll go to the Scripture, but our focus is going to be looking at our 2020 vision, which we began in January 2016, a five-year vision for our church family. We're going to say, this is where we are today, this is where we're going this year, and how we're going to advance the ball to being a disciple-making church by 2020. So, that said, at this point in our service, for those of you who are guests with us today, welcome. We're going to allow our children, and if you have a child that you'd like to have in our children's ministry program, children kindergarten through second grade can be dismissed at this time for children's church. And so our children and your children are welcome to be a part of that. And so they can meet our children's ministry staff at the back, and they'll have a time downstairs as in God's Word, even as we do together in this room. So, Vision 2020. This is the slide that we used back in 2016 to introduce the theme of disciple making, that as a church, we wanted in the next 5 years to become a church that was distinguished as a disciple making church. And we'll explain what that means as we move along. But our desire is that in the 5 years' time, and now we're entering the beginning of the third year, that we would create a culture where men and women and children become Christ followers, grow as Christ followers, and then in turn reproduce and make Christ followers. And that's what we mean by disciple. We mean a Christ follower. And so in 2016, for the year of 2016, our focus was on one-to-one disciple-making relationships. And we had between 40 and 50 men and women go through Next Steps curriculum, either as a means for their own personal growth as a Christ follower, or as one to be equipped to come alongside someone else to help them grow in Christ. And so this morning, I just want you, if you've been through the Next Step curriculum or you've taken someone through the Next Step curriculum, just kind of stand this morning so we can see who's been there. Very good. These and others have been part of that disciple-making process in the one-on-one disciple-making relationships. And by the way, your elders went first in this. The leadership of the church went first in developing one-on-one relationships with others to model and lead by going first in disciple-making relationships. That was 2016. This past year, the focus of the initiative was on launching disciple-making small groups. Launching small groups, beginning with the elders again, where the focus would be on helping people grow in their faith in Christ and grow in their practice of obedience as a Christ follower, including the Great Commission. So that the goal is that groups would reach into the congregation and invite members to join so that they could personally grow in Christ, but then we would also reach out among our neighbors, coworkers, and friends and invite pre-Christians to join a small group and be introduced to other Christians, be introduced to the Scriptures, and be introduced to Christ. Now, in our progress, we've began with our elders, And in the fall of this year, we multiplied and have four groups that are going at different stages. And in the course of this next year, we trust God that we will at least multiply again one time so that we would have eight groups. And we begin to see that outreach component of the groups take place, where we're inviting neighbors, coworkers, friends to join us in our homes to consider the scriptures and to be introduced to Christ. So that's the focus for 2017. Now we come to 2018, and in one sense, the focus is going to, or the commitment is going to be to continue to multiply one-on-one disciple-making relationships as we multiply small group relationships. But as the elders met and retreated, they retreated to meet and pray and study the scriptures and discern God's heart for us as a church family. The theme for 2018 was developed, and it's on the screen here. It is that we would grow, serve, and reach one. In three areas of our walk as Christ followers, we would see God do a work in our life personally and in our life corporately. Now, we would grow one phase as a Christ follower, that we would serve one another as members of the body of Christ, and that we would know the joy of reaching one neighbor with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. And so that is the vision for 2018, or the challenge for 28, is that we would grow, serve, and reach one. This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that highlights this somewhat. It is from 1 Thessalonians, Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, in chapter 1, and I want to look at what Paul says to them in the introduction of his letter to them. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab the Pew Bible in front of you. It's brown, and it looks like this. And in my version of the Pew Bible, 1 Thessalonians is on page 956. I'm going to begin reading at verse 2. Paul writes, "To Christ followers in Thessalonica, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because your gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." And so if we look at the map of the Middle East from the time of the Apostle Paul, going back to the first century, the Apostle Paul has journeyed across, or from Jerusalem down here, sent out by the church at Antioch, and he has crossed over by ship at Troas to Macedonia, and Thessalonica is right here. Now, what the scripture says is that these believers in Thessalonica received the word of God in such a powerful way that their works of faith, their labors of love, and the perseverance of their hope became known throughout all of Macedonia and Achaia, but then throughout all of the known world. He says, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Now, I would suggest that the Apostle Paul didn't know that this would become known in Moline, Illinois in 2018. But because God's word has preserved the record of this letter to the church at Thessalonica, their reputation for works of faith, labors of love, and a perseverance in hope has gone literally around the world as the scriptures have been translated and read by men and women among the nations of this world. This morning, I want us to consider this. The question kind of would be, what would we be known for by God at the end of this calendar year? The believers at Thessalonica were known and remembered before their God and Father in heaven for the work produced by faith, the labor of their love, and the endurance of their hope that was through Christ the Lord. And what would we be remembered for at the conclusion of this year before our Heavenly Father? Our vision for 2020 is that we would be, as a church, a place where people become Christ followers, where they grow as Christ followers, where in turn they touch the lives of others, that others might become Christ followers. This calendar year, we want to put forth a challenge where each one of us would grow one phase in our development of our faith, where each one of us would serve one another with the love of Christ on a regular basis, and where God, it would give us the opportunity to reach one. So the proposition is this: accept the challenge. Let's be remembered before our Heavenly Father for our faith, our love, and our fruitfulness. Let's be remembered before the Father for our faith, love, and fruitfulness. Now, first one is that we would be remembered before God, our Father, for our faith. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, as Paul thinks about this church and its members, he says, we thank God for all of you. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Now, throughout the scripture, and in particular throughout the New Testament, as the letters, the epistles are being written to the churches, it becomes clear that spiritual growth is the norm, that spiritual growth is expected. In 1 Peter 2:2, the Apostle Peter writes, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that you might grow up in your salvation. Peter is acknowledging that when we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we don't start out as mature Christ followers. That when we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether we are 4 years old or 84 years old, we come to Christ as spiritual babes who need to grow up in our faith. And so we're to crave spiritual nourishment. We're to crave spiritual milk. And if you remember parenting, some of you are in the midst of it, so you remember it well too well. much too well. You know that in the middle of the night, a baby can cry. And I discovered four reasons that a baby cries at night as a dad. First of all, a baby cries because he's hungry. Now, about the only thing I can do about that is get him up and take him to his mother. Then, a baby cries when they're wet or they're soiled and they want to have a fresh change, and so they cry. They also cry when they need a nap. And mom and dads cry for any number of reasons along the way. The fourth reason, and some of you won't experience this because you live in the day of disposable diapers, but I learned that babies cry when you stick a pin in them. So, like newborn babes who need spiritual nourishment, the norm should be that we hunger and thirst for that nourishment, that we want to be nourished so that we grow up in Christ. 1 Peter 2:2. Colossians 2:6 and 7 highlights that this spiritual growth is the norm, that it's to be expected. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, says, "Just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in your faith, just as you are taught and overflowing with thanksgiving." So we're to be strong in our faith. Peter says in his second letter, at chapter 3, verse 18, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians at chapter 10, verse 15, says, "Our hope for you is this, that your faith continues to grow." And then in Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 11, we have this command from the Apostle Paul. He says, "Become mature." Become mature in Christ. Don't be infants anymore. In relationship to Jesus Christ, in relationship to your spiritual growth, in relationship to your faith, don't be infants anymore. Don't be infantile. Don't be tossed here and there like you are driven by the wind like a feather. Instead, be, you know, rooted and established in Christ. Grow up into him who is your head. Grow up and mature into the one who is your head, that is Christ Jesus. And so at the beginning of this year, we'd like you, elders included, because we've set it forth, that we would accept the challenge to grow one phase in our faith. One phase in our faith. So those of you who are parents and you take your children to the pediatrician every month or on a regular basis, you've seen a growth chart for your child. You know where they are by age in terms of height and weight, whether they are in the fourth percentile or the 94th percentile. And so you can see whether they're growing, and doctors want to know that your children are growing from month to month. Whether it's the fourth percentile or the 94th percentile, they want to see regular growth. They want to see a good curve in their growth as they mature physically. So spiritually, we have a developmental chart. We have the development, faith development of a Christ follower. And we've seen this before, but some of you are new to First Free, and so this is new to you as well. But not every Christ follower is equal. There is a growth curve. And we start in our spiritual journey as those who are curious about Christ. We might say that we're seekers. We're not a Christ follower yet, but we're interested. We might be interested in the scriptures. We might believe in God and be drawn to him, so we want to know more about him. We're curious. And to The curious, Jesus says, come and see. And that you can see in John chapter 1. The second phase is the convinced phase. This is where birth, new birth takes place, where we are spiritual babes in Christ, when we cross over from being curious to convinced. In the convinced phase, I'm convinced of my sin and my need of a Savior. I'm convinced that Jesus and Jesus alone is the one who loved me and died for me so that I can know the forgiveness of sins. I'm convinced that if I trust Jesus, if I give my life to Him and surrender my life to Him, that He will come into my life and give me life now and forever. I'm convinced. I become a believer. And convinced, God wants us to grow. He wants us to become confident in our faith. The Apostle Paul talked about it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He says, be rooted and established in your faith. And if you picture the giant redwood tree in the forests of California, the reason that they can stand and grow so tall is because of their rootedness. Not that they have deep roots, but that their roots are woven together with the roots of the trees that stand beside them. So they can grow tall because they stand together, not alone. And God wants us to stand together, not alone, but He wants us to be rooted in Christ and established in our faith. And then He wants us to be consecrated. That's not a word that's used a lot in our English time, but it means that we're set apart. That we come to understand that we live for God. That we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for God and His people. And so we understand that our set-apart nature, that we can have a place in the body of Christ. On a baseball team, you have 9 players on the field at one time in terms of when you're on defense. And every player, whether they're in right field, left field, shortstop, third base, second base, first base, pitcher, catcher, they all have a role to play. Some of their skills are the same. But on a hit to right field, the second baseman's responsibility is different than the third baseman's or the pitcher. Someone should be backing, if there's going to be a throw home, someone needs to back up the catcher. The second baseman goes out to be the person in the gap to line up the throw and be the cutoff man if the ball needs to be cut off so we can get the guy out at second. Everybody has a place on the field. Some of their traits are the same. They need to know how to throw. They need to know how to catch. And when they come to the plate, they need to know how to discern a ball and a strike and hit the ball when it's thrown or pitched. But on any given play, their responsibility is different. And in the body of Christ, as laborers and leaders, we have different roles to play, different ways in which we serve, different ways in which we love on each other and help each other, but we are consecrated. And then Paul's desire is that we would all be finishers, that we would come to maturity in Christ, that we would be able to join him in saying, my desire, Paul says, at the end of my life is to hear from my Father in heaven, to hear from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so we want to be finishers. Now the question is, where am I? Where am I in this spiritual journey? Where am I in my development as a Christ follower? Now, one of the things that we were challenged as leadership to do is to measure what we do. And so this morning, we're going to take 10 minutes to get a measure of where we are as a church family. not where you are necessarily as an individual Christ follower, although we can do that. And in the next hour, if you're interested, I'm going to take some time to talk about it personally. But I'm going to ask the elders to come forward at this time, come to the front, and we're going to pass out a survey. And so what we want to do is to get a snapshot of where we are as a church family. Now, I know not everybody's here, but this is a snapshot. Sometimes when you take a family picture, not everybody's in it. We celebrated Christmas yesterday with our children and grandchildren. Not everybody was in the picture. And some who were in the picture were not in the picture willingly. Some of you are saying, I don't want to be part of this snapshot. Now, when you get the survey, it says there's a place for your name, but don't put your name down. We're not wanting your name. We're wanting a corporate snapshot. So what we will do is take the surveys. We're going to take 10 minutes right now to complete them. We're going to collect them, and then we are going to score them, and we will have a group snapshot, a family picture of how many percentile and count, how many of us are seekers, how many of us are believers, how many of us are followers, how many of us are laborer leaders, and finishers we probably won't be counting because that usually means that we're dead and home with the Lord. But we're on the way. So if you want to put something on it, you could say, I think I'm a seeker. I think I'm a believer. So you, instead of name, you could put seeker, believer, follower, laborer, finisher. You could put where you think you are if you want to put that there. And then you might put, instead of a second piece of data, you might put there is how many years you've been a Christ follower. 5, 10, 20, 25. How many years you've been a Christ follower? If you haven't gotten a survey, hold your hand up so we can get you one. If you have a survey, go ahead and start filling it out. It's pretty easy. There are statements, and you're saying, I strongly disagree, I disagree, I agree, or I strongly agree. And there's number values, and you just circle the number. And work your way through 34 questions. You don't need to debate your answers in your mind. Just kind of put down what first comes to your thinking. Strongly agree, somewhat agree. Strongly disagree, somewhat disagree, somewhat agree, strongly agree. I have about 4 more minutes. So work your way through the statements. When you get to question 27, the key is a little different. It's 1 through 10, and it's measuring our spiritual disciplines, how the frequency of them. We're going to take one more minute, and then we'll collect them. Yes, Sarah. Oh, I said instead of name, there are two things you might write down. One might be where you think you are, seeker, believer, follower, laborer, leader. And the second thing would be, how long have you been a Christ follower? Yeah. Try and finish up in one more minute, and then we'll collect those. If you've completed them, you know, pass them to the middle, or to the aisle, so that the elders can collect them. If you didn't finish it, go ahead and finish it. And even if we've collected them, you can just set it on the back as you leave, or you can hand it to an usher as you leave, and we'll include it. What we will have, and we'll report it to you as a congregation, if not next week at our annual meeting, we will report by percentage and count how many of us are in the seeker phase, how many of us are in the believer phase, how many of us are in the follower phase, the laborer leader phase, and finisher phase, based on the results. We'll have a snapshot of where we are corporately, so that then at the end of the year, we can do it again and see the change. We can see the change. And it's one way for us to measure our progress corporately. In the next hour, in the ABF hour, I'm going to be here in the worship center, and I'm going to walk through the questionnaire. If you're interested in understanding it for yourself personally, you're welcome to join me for that time. So we're looking at a corporate measure. We ask the question, what practices are going to help me grow in my faith? Well, in terms of practices, Jesus highlights two in particular. One is prayer, and the second is Bible reading. Prayer in the sense that we're having a conversation with God our Father about our life today. And we have a conversation with him about that. And there are a number of things included. And then secondly, Bible reading, that we take time to not just talk to God about our lives today, but we take time in the context of a day to listen to him, to what he has to say in his word. And so prayer and Bible reading become two fundamental practices for helping us grow in our faith. There's a third practice that is critical to our maturation, in its obedience. It's obedience, that we do what he says. One of the things as a grandparent is to get to watch your children parent. And so as we were gathered for Christmas, we got to watch our children parent our grandchildren. And they're practicing time out. And they were saying, you know, that you time out's 1 minute for every year. So one of our grandsons had misbehaved, said no to his mother or his father, and was going to sit on a step for time out. And the parenting was interesting because he didn't want to sit on the step. He didn't want time out. And so they've told them, until you sit on the step and tell us that you're in time out, the clock doesn't start. So, you know, 3-4 minutes had gone by, and then this little voice says, I'm ready. I'm on the step. You know, and then time out began. And then the little boy comes out and says, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And so you get to watch. But what is measured there that brings delight to a parent or a grandparent's heart is the progress in obedience. And so what practice are going to help me grow in my faith? Prayer, Bible reading, and then obedience. That I do what God's word says. Jesus, in the Great Commission, when he says, go and make disciples of all nations, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. So we want to learn obedience. One of the things that we did last year as a congregation in terms of the Bible reading component was that we made a pledge to read through the NIV chronological Bible in a year. And on your connection card today, there's a place for you to say, in terms of Challenge 2017, reading through the chronological Bible in a year, I read X percent of 365 daily readings. So mine was probably 96% of the daily readings. So you can report what you would estimate you completed in terms of the 365 daily readings. So we've done that. We've read through the Bible in a year. What are we going to do this year? And I encourage you to report on the connection card and turn it in either as the offering is passed for those who have been part of our church family. What are we going to do in 2018 to encourage the practice of prayer, Bible reading, and obedience? Okay, so we're going to encourage Bible reading on a regular basis. Our immediate challenge for Bible reading is that next week, I'm going to begin a series of messages on the book of James. So we'll be working through the book of James section by section from next week through Easter, which is April 1st. And we're going to be looking at the book of James. What we'd like you to do as a member of the church family is that for the next 4 weeks, we'd like you to just take Monday to read James 1, Tuesday to read James 2, Wednesday to read James 3, Thursday to read James 4, and Friday to read James 5. So that after 4 weeks, you'll have read the book of James 4 times. And you can continue to do that as we're in the book of James, but that's the first challenge that we're putting out there in terms of Bible reading. We want our Bible reading to be purposeful. We want it to be strategic and focused. And so together, we can take time to read one chapter a day for 5 days, which is wonderful because then if you fall behind in the week, on Saturday, you can read what you missed during the week and catch up. So 5 out of 7 days reading the book of James. In terms of prayer, For the remainder of the month of January, there is a prayer card on the table in the lobby that's entitled Life-Giving Prayers for Your Church. And then there are 15 to 20 different prayer suggestions for praying for your church. And so pick up one of those. You can keep it in your Bible. I have mine right here in my Bible. And so you can keep it in your Bible, and then in your time, pick a time during your day to pray for one of those items, recommended items to pray for your church. And so for the rest of the month of January, we're going to be praying for our church together, individually, but also together. And then as well, if on your survey you are a seeker or a believer, if you're curious about Christ or you are recently convinced of Christ or desiring to be established in your faith so that you can be confident in Christ, and you haven't been through next steps, indicate that on your card. I desire to go through next steps. The other side of it is that as a person who is confident in Christ and you want to be a laborer, if you want to be equipped to use next steps with another believer so that you can come alongside them, say, I want to be equipped to use next steps. And then we're going to then assign someone from our group of 40 that have already been through it to come alongside you, either to help you grow in your faith or to equip you to come alongside someone else. So 2018, we're going to encourage focused prayer, Bible reading during the sequence of month to month, what different focus, and also the multiplication of one-on-one disciple-making relationships in the life of the church. So we want to be remembered as a church as those who are growing in our faith. But secondly, we also want to be remembered before God, our Father, for our love. And the Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, we thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, but also your labor prompted by love. Their love was a love that was demonstrated in action. And so we want to be those who accept the challenge to serve one another with the love of Christ. Jesus says this in John 13 at verse 34. He says, a new commandment that I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then in verse 35, he says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciple. We could put it this way. This is a mark of what it is to be a Christ follower. By this, everyone will know that you are truly a follower of Christ if you love one another. So a distinguishing mark, a distinguishing characteristic of a Christ follower is first faith, and then secondly, love. Jesus said it to his disciples. One of those disciples was John, one of the sons of thunder, a fisherman. And John, as an apostle, writes letters to the church. And in John, 1 John 3:18, he says to the church, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Actions and in truth. Not just in word, but in action and in truth. Those of us who are married stood before God and the company of his people and our friends and pledged to love someone for the remainder of our lives, until death do us part, is the way the vows go. And if The only time we said, I love you, was on the day we were married. We would have a marriage that's not thriving. And if the only way we demonstrated that we love someone is to say it, you know, well, I sent you a card on your birthday that said, I love you. Or on Mother's Day, I said, I love you. Well, maybe that was a week late, but I meant it. No, not just love in words, but love in actions communicates the truth that we love someone. Don't love merely with words, but with actions and in truth, meaning genuinely. Our love is to be genuine. It's to be demonstrative. Love is a verb, not a noun. It is to be acted upon. Now, in the New Testament, in the epistles, in the letters from the apostles, there are 52 commands given to believers in relationship to each other. They're called the one another mandates. The one another mandates. 52 commands. Some of them are accept one another, be devoted to one another, carry one another's burdens. And that doesn't mean, you know, carrying their backpack at school, although it could mean that. It has more to mean of coming alongside someone when times are tough in their life and encouraging them and praying for them, coming alongside them to carry their burden with them. Encourage one another, forgive one another, look out for one another. Love one another, pray for one another, serve one another, show hospitality to one another. Many of these things are action-oriented commands. They're not just word-driven, they're action-driven. Word and action. And so we're going to be focusing on one another's in the life of our church family in the coming year so that we would be remembered before God our Father for our love that is seen in actions. So if I'm going to grow one, I need to employ the disciplines of the faith and be in relationship with someone so that I can grow in my faith. If I'm going to serve one, I need to practice loving service daily. And God gives us a context for that. We have relationships. We have family. We have family in which we can practice serving one another in Christ-like love. We have, in the context of church, we have ABFs where we can be in relationship with others to learn to serve each other in love. We have small groups, which are the context for us to serve one another in love, where we can know and be known, where we can love and be loved, where we can serve and be served, and yes, we can forgive and be forgiven. Let's be remembered before God, our Father, for our love. I'm not going to spend time this morning on what it is to be remembered before God for our fruitfulness. We're going to come to that in time, in the course of the year. But we'll leave with those two calls, that we'd be remembered for our faith and that we would be remembered for our love, and say that we're going to be challenged in each of those ways in the coming year. But that it would be in practice, not just in word. I end with this story. John Brodus, the 19th century American Baptist pastor, and by the way, the founder of the Southern Baptist Convention, once was having a meal with Ole Bull. Ole Bull was a renowned Norwegian violinist and composer. Ole Bull was born in Bergen, Norway. He was the eldest of 10 children. His father, Johan Storm Bull, what a great name, huh? Wished, and he's not a bullfighter, not, it's not ole, it's Oli. So, his father wanted him to be a pastor. He wanted to have a career in music. You see, at the age of four, Ole Bull could replicate all of the songs that he heard his mother play on her violin. And he would pick up her violin and play what she just played at the age of 4. At the age of 9, Ole Bull played his first, or he was, not he played his first, he was first violin for the Bergen Philharmonic Orchestra at 9. Pretty amazing. He was considered one of the greatest violinists of his time, on par with Paganini, for both the speed and clarity of his technique. Now, during dinner with Dr. Brodus, this pastor, Dr. Brodus acknowledges that he was personally challenged by Ole Bull's commitment to practice. In fact, Bull said, and Brodus quotes, "When I stopped practicing one day, I noticed the difference. When I stopped practicing 2 days, my friends noticed the difference. If I stop practicing for a week, everybody will see the difference." And Dr. Brodus was struck between the eyes by it, because we are so lax on the practice of our Christian faith, both in terms of the spiritual disciplines that will help us grow in Christ and in the love that should be the hallmark of our relationships. Ole Bull could not afford to stop practicing for a single week or even for a single day, lest it be apparent. And so we're putting forth the challenge to you this year that you would make the commitment to grow one phase in your faith, and that you would grow in the practice of your love toward one another. And in time we'll share what it is to grow in terms of reaching one. But that's the challenge for 2018, that we would grow one phase in our faith development, that we would grow in our practice of serving each other with the love of Christ day by day, week by week, and that we would know the joy by the end of the year and the privilege of reaching one with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. We're going to pray, then we're going to worship in giving, and close with in worship songs as well. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to know you through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We understand that it is normal and expected for children to grow and to come to maturity as young men and women. We pray, dear Lord, that each one of us as Christ followers would know the joy of seeing the same, that we would make progress in our faith development, that we would grow one phase in our faith, that we become increasingly mature in Christ and practiced in our disciplines, the disciplines of our faith, and in our the demonstration of our love for one another. We commit ourselves to you and to that end. We also offer ourselves this morning in worship and in the giving of our tithes and offerings. We say thank you for all that you have done for us. And we worship you with our life, the gift of our life, with the gift of our time, with the gift of our resources, and in this moment, the gift of our praise as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's never failing. kindness of a Savior.